You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to site now. We've got all your fallout from week number 7, the Sunday action there. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of disappointing for reality and fantasy out there. So a little bit of tough week there for a lot of things we expected to happen, then a lot of unexpected things happened. So one of those weird weeks, we knew it was going to come in the middle of the season when you had a four-team bye, and that's exactly what happened here in week 7. So a lot of stuff to disseminate here from what we saw on the field. We got the 12 games to talk about here. We had the Thursday night game. We broke down the Patrick Mahomes injury in our previous show. We'll have our look at the waiver wire and pick up Tuesday tomorrow and also give you some takeaways from the Patriots-Jets game on Monday night. But we'll talk about the rest here, the takeaways from both sides of every game that you need to know. And we should dive right in because there's plenty here that you need to know. Again, frustrating in times for some people, spectacular times if you had the right players in this particular week. So let's start with the Rams-Falcons game. We told you we like Jared Goff in this game. Interesting way he came about the numbers. Actually, it was not a shootout. It was 37-10. So the Rams were in complete control of this game. Jared Goff throws for 2. He runs for 1, 268 and 2. We thought this would be a get-well game. Not exactly the way we drew it up. We thought it was going to be a bit back and forth, but Jared Goff comes through here. Todd Gurley, again, not doing much in the running game. They only averaged 2.5 yards per carry as a team. He was 2.3, 18 for 41. But guess what Todd Gurley does? He scored a touchdown, had a reception here. His only catch went into the end zone there. Great catch that he made for Goff for a score. So still 19 touches there for only 54 yards. But Todd Gurley giving you still that RB2 number that you're looking for when he's healthy and playing after he missed last week. Darrell Henderson had to be the backup. He didn't look that much better, by the way. So there's no reason for him to get too many more carries here. 11 for 31, not involved at all in the passing game, just one catch for 8 yards as well. So he's pretty much the clear backup, not using his change of pace separate from Gurley. They're still trusting Gurley as the back because he can finish drives here, and that's what you're seeing here from him. It was disappointing because the Rams didn't have much resistance from the Falcons. They didn't throw it around the building, so only 650 for Cooper Kupp, 5 for 80 for Robert Woods, 459 for Brandon Cook. So you expect a lot more from these guys, but when the Falcons weren't doing anything and the Rams just ran away with this game, they were up 13-3 at halftime. Then they went up 24-6 there late. It was all over here until the garbage touchdown late by the Falcons. So, again, disappointing there overall. I mean, you played Goff, you were happy. Gerald Everett was the most targeted receiver here all of a sudden, 10 targets. So he's being a problem for these other guys. They got 8, 7, and 7 targets, respectively, Kupp, Cooks, and Woods. So Everett dominates the targets. However, catches only 4 for a touchdown. He should have had another touchdown catch here. So Gerald Everett, legitimate in this offense, but at the expense of these other guys and what they do. So yet another mouth to feed, a little bit more frustrating. Cooper Kupp owner, after his big start, 2 quiet weeks, has got to be a bit frustrating here. But it happens with receivers based on game script. Now, with the Falcons, it was ugly all around for the Falcons. Matt Ryan didn't get you the garbage points. Matt Schaub got you a little bit, 65 yards and a touchdown. But the big story, Matt Ryan gets high ankle sprain. He gets crushed by Aaron Donald, one of the 5 sacks on the day. It just looked like a horror movie, the way that he was not protected. And Aaron Donald, that's not what you want to see if you're a quarterback crushing you. So Matt Ryan is probably going to have to miss a game. I mean, this is a high ankle sprain. They do have a bye week there in week 9, but they're playing the Seahawks. Unfortunately, a very good matchup we're going to miss. So Matt Schaub has some interest as a streamer because the game is in Atlanta. He was 6 for 6 for 65 and a touchdown. Again, it's the system and what happens here. Austin Hooper, I mean, he came through even in this mess for the Falcons late with that touchdown from Schaub. 4 for 46 and a score on 5 targets. Julio Jones had Jalen Ramsey, but considering that matchup, catching 6 of 9 targets for 93, you'll take it, but it's Julio Jones. You want a lot more from that, even in a tough matchup. So that was hard. This Falcons offense went in the tank. Calvin Ridley, forget it, 4 for 30 on 6. Devonta Freeman got ejected in this game. It was ugly. We thought this would actually be a good game for him. The Rams struggling, but he turns 9 touches to only 15 yards before he left. Ito Smith carted off the field here. So Brian Hill, we're going to pay attention to. He had 7 touches for only 25 yards in this game, but he's the next man up. If something happens with Freeman, I'm sure Freeman will be back next week, but Hill moves up, assuming Ito is going to have to miss some time here. So something you have to keep on the radar, especially with Freeman struggling. The Seahawks, you can run on them, so there's some hope for Freeman to rebound here. But Matt Schaub, again, if you're looking for a potential streamer this week, Matt Schaub comes into play. Again, in a great matchup, filling in for Ryan. We'll see if Ryan can play, but I would say they're not going to rush it, especially with the team going nowhere. This is your franchise quarterback. You're 1-6. You have a bye week. Dan Quinn's job is tenuous right now, so I would say no, and the move on from there. And unfortunate to Matt Ryan owners, counting on 300 yards and multiple touchdowns every week. He gets half of that and an interception and not much else before he left the game. So tough break there for Matt Ryan owners, the big mid-game injury instead of the garbage points. Now we go to the next game. It's the Bills and Dolphins. The Bills started slowly, but they scored 22 fourth quarter points. They were actually down 14-9 at halftime and beat the Dolphins 31-21. Josh Allen, we thought, would come through. He did. Wasn't as spectacular as we thought, but definitely QB1 value with 32 yards rushing to go 202-2. Expected more out of this running game with Frank Gore, but only had 11 carries for 55, one catch for 11. Still not much of Devin Singletary in the mix. He looked good here, but Gore still looked better running forward, 7 of 26 for Singletary. So let's cool the Jets on Singletary. In terms of this receiving core, Cole Beasley did have a touchdown, but it was a John Brown show, 5 for 83. And a touchdown, you knew that without Xavien Howard, and he came through at least 40. Now, on the Dolphins side of things, don't look now, but Devontae Parker has now scored in 3 consecutive games for the Dolphins. Ryan Fitzpatrick gives this offense a little bit more life. Preston Williams actually looked pretty good here, 6 for 82 on 8 targets, considering the hard matchup. And then Parker, 5 for 55, only caught half of his targets, but again, scores for the third straight week. So I have to pay attention a little bit more to Parker now as a viable option during the bye weeks. And Williams is the better receiver, but Parker's the guy that seems to get the love in the red zone. So there's a lot worse you can do right now than investing in the Dolphins. We'll see if Kenny and Drake gets traded. I would expect that's the expectation now. Mark Walton, it's pivoted to him. 14 for 66 for Walton. He actually looked good in a tough matchup as well. So the Drake, 9 touches, 58 yards. I assume he's on the way out. So again, don't completely sleep on the Dolphins. They have some value here, especially as long as Fitzpatrick's staying, because at least he's semi-competent as a quarterback, and I'm starting to see the Dolphins play a little harder each week. The next game that we'll look at here in the 1 o'clock Eastern Time window is the Jaguars over the Bengals, 27-17. A lot of these games played out exactly like we wanted. There were just some surprising results how we got to them. Now, Andy Dalton, I mean, weird game for Andy Dalton. He had 3 interceptions, including a pick six, but 276 and a score passing, 33 yards rushing and a score running. So weird game. He actually yielded decent fantasy points, even though he was terrible in reality in this game. So that's how it goes, especially when Joe Mixon runs 10 times for 2 yards. That is not a misprint here. He had as many rushing yards on 10 attempts as he had receiving yards on 1 catch. Horrendous game for Joe Mixon. This offensive line is a shambles. 11 touches for 4 yards. I don't know how that's possible, but that's what happened against the Jaguars. And Tyler Boyd, he's crushing our hopes and dreams as well. 5 for 55 on 14 targets. Way off Andy Dalton was in this game. He had to trust Alex Erickson for some reason. 8 catches, 137 yards on 14 targets. So very inefficient with Erickson and Boyd. Auden Tate looked good, but he only got 6 targets, caught 3 for 65. So if you're a Tyler Boyd owner, you have to be all right. Tyler Eifert, forget about it. They're not using him. Zach Taylor in this offense is absolute garbage right now. And I mean, good luck trusting it. No wonder A.J. Green wants to miss time or Cordy Glenn doesn't want to play. I mean, this is just a mess. They keep losing every week. And, man, the Bengals, hard to recommend anything on them. Joe Mixon seemed like a volume play, but now he's not even doing anything with volume beyond this line. So Dalton as a streamer is all you're looking at the Bengals and just It's just hard to talk about this team in general. And their run defense stinks, and at least we knew that came through. Leonard Fournette, 29 carries, 131 yards, 2 catches, 14. We wanted a little bit bigger game than Fournette. Where were the touchdowns? He got stuffed on fourth goal early in the game. We thought this could be a massive smash spot. It was pretty solid. You'll take that when you get to 14.5 points. They're a little bit more in a PPR league, but they basically sold out to stop Fournette. It didn't work out that much anyway. 216 yards rushing. Gardner Minshew was a vulture. He rushed for 48 yards, took some away from Fournette. And this one, DJ Chark had a 20-yard run. So they're just running everybody in this game. That's the bottom line, is everyone runs, everyone succeeds against the Bengals. Minshew, we thought the volume would be pretty low. He only had 15 for 32. It wasn't great. 255 and a score. D.D. Westbrook came alive. The Bengals were missing a lot of corners inside and outside. So he takes over 6 for 103. D.J. Chark 3 for 53 and that one rushing. So tough game for Chark, but it was a running game, throw in the slot, pretty conservative, easy game plan for the Jaguars. And sometimes that hurts your big playmakers, again, when there's not enough resistance from the other side. And that clearly happened in this game. Jaguars defense, however, smashed it, killed it. They're back, and especially in bad team matchups like this particular one. The final game we'll talk about in this segment is the Vikings and Lions. 42-30, the Vikings win. Kirk Cousins, man, he's loaded in as a QB1 right now. He's in the top half there, 337-4 against the Lions on the road. We weren't crazy about him in this matchup, but he comes through big time, even with Adam Thielen getting hurt. And by the way, Thielen got hurt, but before he did that, with the hamstring, he delivered 1 catch for 25 and a score here. So Thielen probably is going to miss this week's game against the Redskins, which is unfortunate. It's a great, great matchup. So we're going to find another source. They pretty much turned to a committee of Irv Smith Jr., the rookie tight end, 5 for 60, 5 for 58, and a touchdown for Kyle Rudolph. He became relevant again instead of a blocker with Thielen gone. And Olabisi Johnson caught a touchdown here. So he's really the next receiver up. But then CJ Ham also got a fullback touchdown in this one. So who knows? It's a committee there to replace Thielen. The one thing we do know, Stephon Diggs is clearly the number one in a great, great spot against the Redskins. 7 for 142 on 8 targets there. So you knew he was going to go off. Darius Slay could only handle him so much. Slay was on Thielen early. So things opened up, and they just kind of had a little resistance downfield, the Lions, and he made two big plays, and that was it for his solid fantasy day. Dalvin Cook, stud, 25 carries, 442 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looks spectacular in this game. Him and Christian McCaffrey have been the two best backs in fantasy football most consistently this season, and special talent wins overall in fantasy, and that's what we saw there. And the matchup was great for Cook, and he did not disappoint. Now, on the other side, Kerryon Johnson, we knew the matchup was bad, but then he got hurt in this game, had to leave the game with a knee injury, 5 for 23 only. And J.D. McKissic and Ty Johnson split the rest of the work there, both as rushers and receivers. So a little bit of a mess, especially for not a good running team. I think I would invest a little bit more in Ty Johnson, who had the 14 touches for 57. McKissic had 7 for 60, so it's pretty close here. It's unfortunately not a clear handcuff situation for Kerryon, who was being used in a weird way anyway. But what we did see from the Lions is Danny Amendola, 8 for 105 on 11 targets, so he got involved a lot. They were clearly clamping on Kenny Golladay in this game. He only had 1 catch for 21 yards and 2 targets. Stafford didn't even go that way. That's because Amendola went off, and Marvin Jones, the second player in recent history to have 4 touchdowns a game. He last did it as a member of the Bengals. 10 for 93. What a weird stat line on 13 targets. All very short red zone touchdowns. Same spot against Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes, breaking news, is not that good anymore in coverage. And Marvin Jones toasted him all game in a short passing touchdown situation. So Stafford, 364-4. So he's usable. Cousins, Stafford, we wrote them off as QB1s, but they certainly have that viability now this season. Now, we have several more games to talk about, 8 more from Sunday here that we need to break down for you on Lockdown Fantasy Football. But first, I got to tell you about Peloton. Peloton is offering a limited time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike, and I get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCK to get started now. And I'm also pleased to tell you that Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Blue Chew, and that means we're looking for better sex. And remember the days that you were always ready to go? Well, Blue Chew is going to help you increase your performance and get that extra confidence back in bed. BlueChew.com, blue like the color blue, the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that works. You can take Blue Chew anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they can work up to twice as fast as pills, so you're ready whenever that opportunity arises. Guys, we're all used to talking a good game, but Blue Chew is what you need to really help with your follow-through in those clutch moments. And the best thing about Blue Chew, it's delivered discreetly to you at home, so none of that awkwardness that comes with waiting in a pharmacy or in a doctor's office. And because Blue Chew is made in the USA and ships directly to you, it's also cheaper than a pharmacy, so there's a better deal even now for you as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. You get your first shipment free when you visit BlueChew.com. When you enter the promo code Locked On, you'll only pay the $5 shipping. That's, again, BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it absolutely for free, just the $5 shipping there. So you got to try it, guys. Believe me, it works, and it's a great product. So check it out. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to break down the next four games there from the Week 7 Sunday action. All right, let's continue the show. We'll continue in our 1 p.m. window as well. The next game that's on the docket is the Raiders and Packers. This one was the Aaron Rodgers show, 42-24. It started slow here. It was 7-3 after a quarter, 14 points in the second, 14 points in the third, another 7 in the fourth quarter, and it was all Aaron Rodgers. 429-5 on only 31 attempts, 25-31, perfect pass rating, 158.3. He also has a rushing touchdown in this game. Insane. So we've been waiting for Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers, the fantasy stud we've known and loved for a long time. It was about to come. When your defense struggles and your running game struggles, that's usually what leads to something, and you have to have a little resistance on the other side. And the Raiders certainly provided plenty of that. They actually had moved the ball a lot. They had some struggles in the scoring position there that could have made this game a lot closer. Only 23 for 60 on the ground. Aaron Rodgers, that rushing score. Aaron Jones, only 12 for 50 rushing the ball, but he came through again. Those people worried about Jamal Williams, who also scored 4 for 26 receiving and touching there. 4 for 33 in receiving for Jones. Three more guys scored for Aaron Rodgers. Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a 74-yard bomb. Only two catches there. For 133 and scored, he'll take that. Jimmy Graham, more relevant with no Davante Adams, 4 for 65, caught all of his targets and scored. Jake Kumerow caught both of his targets for 54 yards and a score, 37-yarder, pretty play. So Alan Lazard, sorry, but the Geronimo Allison MVS activeness early before the game, then Graham being involved, and Kumerow and Danny Vitale out of the backfield, the two backs, they pretty much killed the value of one Alan Lazard in this game. So that's why I have to be careful. Don't buy too heavily on an injury replacement to unknown player. Kind of see how things play out there and go there. Because if you got him and you were stuck late in the week and needed to play him, you were sorely disappointed there this week. But Aaron Rodgers owners can relax now. Yes, his words, R-E-L-I-A-X. Let's relax and enjoy Aaron Rodgers. He's back to form. He hasn't been bad. He just needed a game where he had to do something, and he did it here for sure against the Raiders and certainly against the Chiefs next week. Fire him up. High-scoring game. Here it comes for Aaron Rodgers. Derek Carr, 293-2. This is one of his best games of the year. He was dinking and dunking well, 22 of 28. He's actually been rather efficient. What we like about Derek Carr is he's going to facilitate the running game, which we saw Josh Jacobs, 21 for 124 for him, and he's going to get the ball to the main guys. And without the services of Tyrell Williams, you knew it was going to be Darren Waller. 7 catches, 126 yards, 2 TDs. Kind of a wide receiver hybrid at tight end, and he clearly is your go-to guy there for Derek Carr. So, gasping because he's so special of a player right now. Keelan Doss was the leading receiver, otherwise 3 for 54 with Williams out, and Zay Jones not quite ready to play here for the Raiders. So, interesting thing there. Mike Glennon, by the way, threw a second garbage TD there to Darren Waller after Derek Carr left out there late in the fourth quarter. So you'll take garbage from your tight end. The tight end has been awful this year. So when you have a tight end that goes 7 for 126 and 2, he is the best tight end in fantasy right now, the way things are going. And that, unfortunately, that's the case here going forward. But Waller should be in your lineups every week based on the landscape of this position being very ugly. The next game we'll talk about here is the Colts and the Texans. And the Colts, I mean, Jacoby Brissett, groove in this offense, 326 and 4, no interceptions. It'll lose a fumble, but the Texans kind of sold out to stop Marlon Mack in the running game, and it worked. He only had 18 carries for 44 yards. We didn't necessarily see that coming, but Brissett up to the challenge, throwing to T.Y. Hilton, 6, 11 targets, 74 and a score. Zach Pascal, clearly a guy that he trusts on the other side of the field. So he said, oh, they got these other guys, just Rodgers and Deion Kane. Paris Campbell, the rookie, didn't play. No, Zach Pascal is really the number two, and he looks pretty good. You can't deny a guy. He should be owned in all leagues right now. He's just being too much involved behind Hilton. Now, Eric Ebron, bit hit or miss, but he comes through here with a long touchdown, 4 for 70 and a touch. So Brissett locked in. You need a game where they shut down the run, and the Texans were going to do something on the other side. They did to some degree, but they struggled to run the ball. They got behind here, and Deshaun Watson struggled. 308, TD, and a couple of interceptions, sacked three times. We haven't seen this game for a while, but at least DeAndre Hopkins owners can relax. 9 for 106 and a touchdown on 12 targets. That's the more DeAndre Hopkins game we know. Kenny Stills, with the early hamstring injury that caused Will Fuller to leave, 4 for 105, comes back booming. And we knew that Stills' return could hurt the tight ends, and it did. We just didn't know, with Fuller out, that Stills would still hurt the tight ends. But Stills clearly is your handcuff to Fuller. He's the guy that they're going to plug in right away and play. And I bet Fuller, with his latest stuff and tissue injury, could miss some time here for the Texans. So Watson, you'll just flush this game. Carlos Hyde, hopefully this is just an anomaly game and he doesn't go back to just being stuffed. But again, the Colts were defense with Darius Leonard was at full strength here, and we saw the full wrath of them in this particular week. Our next game that we'll look at here is the Cardinals and Giants, staying in the 1 p.m. window. And this was the weird one. Fantasy people irate about this one. We know about it. Kyler Murray, only 104 yards. That was part of the disappointment, that we saw this Giants matchup and said, oh, he's going to light it up here passing. Only 28 yards rushing. But when you play defense and you can run the ball, again, resistance is everything. And the Giants provided a little resistance late, but it was when the game was out of hand. Chase Edmonds, the controversial 27 for 126 and 3 when David Johnson was active for this game, but not active really. He only had the first carry there for 2 yards. He was the emergency, quote, running back. And really why he got that yard was that Chase Edmonds was out there throwing up on the sidelines for a little bit of scare. And he might have been needed in that emergency. But Chase Edmonds came out flying, 220-yard touchdowns runs here, 27 for 126 and 3. So he needs to be owned everywhere this way. It's important to handcuff. It's also important to kind of pay attention. It's unfortunate we didn't see the David Johnson benching coming, but in terms of just health-related. But again, Chase Edmonds looked good the past few weeks. He knew that they could expand his role if they were a little bit worried about Johnson's health. So all that is there. I mean, it's hard to read, but now you know that you're going to be careful going forward with these injury reports there. And it's usually they're more forthcoming. It was hard to read into. There's no reporting on this, so don't beat yourself up for it. Chase Edmonds, make matters worse, if you came on the bench, also had 2 catches for 24. So nothing else to see here. A lot of people were very frustrated with this Cardinals game because it was Chase Edmonds and nothing else. Now, with the Giants game, we thought Daniel Jones could play a little bit better, but 8 sacks for the Cardinals. Patrick Peterson's return was huge here. Interception, they lost a fumble. 2, actually, from Daniel Jones. So the Cardinals defense legitimately looking good with Vance Joseph, especially the X-factor Peterson there, creating so much havoc on one side of the field and coverage. So Golden Tate, we knew the outside receivers were going to do much, but Golden Tate on the inside, 6 for 80 on 11. We liked a tight end in this game to really come through. His name is Evan Engram, but unfortunately 1 catch on 5 targets. So that connection with him and Daniel Jones has been off. It's not the way we like it with Eli Manning. Instead, it's Rhett Ellison, 2 for 33 and a touchdown, catching both of his targets here. So this passing game just was terrible. They couldn't even get checkdowns to Saquon. 3 for 8 for Saquon, 18 for 72 and a score. So not bad, but again, when you have a struggling rookie quarterback and you're losing and they're not staying on the field much and you're getting sacked a lot, it's hard for your running back to produce any more with that, but you'll take it. You've been missing him on your team. He's at least healthy and producing. And RB1s are always not going to be special, but they can be reliable, and that's what we saw with the return here of Saquon Barkley. But Daniel Jones' passing game, it's hard to invest until Sterling Shepard is there to create some attention and to help Evan Ingram. But clearly the Ingram and Jones connection is not the same as it was with Eli Jones, but Jones and Tate seem to have something going on, so something notable there to look out for. The final game we'll talk about in this segment is the 49ers and Redskins. Not much to talk about here, so we can close this one pretty easily. 9-0, the 49ers win. The defense, again, story is the best play, but you expect a lot more out of the 49ers-Redskins game in terms of running game for San Francisco, but Tevin Coleman only 62 yards rushing in this one. Second straight game they struggled, and they did get to 137 yards rushing, but it was a 39 attempts, a few Jimmy Garoppolo scrambles, a little bit of Matt Breida before he had the eye and head injuries in this one. So ugly, but they really missed the two offensive tackles here. Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey, you can't be impervious to that. I mean, in the NFL, when you have two players of that level, it's going to hurt your run blocking a little bit. And you lost Kyle Juszczyk. Don't forget about him. The fullback is key in the blocking here. So all these things, plus George Kittle, a little bit banged up in and out of the lineup with Ross Dwelly. It was just a brutal game for the 49ers offense where we expected them to smash some things. So 3-for-38 for Kittle in relation to what they did was actually a good game. This one in the horrible weather condition. So don't read too much in this one. They do have a tough matchup at home against Carolina next week. Jimmy Garoppolo, to avoid him. But if you need Tevin Coleman or George Kittle there, I think you still have to play them. We'll see about Brady's injury status for this week. But again, you got to avoid the 49ers receivers. Even without Deebo Samuel, Dante Pettis was blanked in this game. Marquise Goodwin got hurt. It's just a mess. So avoid all these receivers at all costs in fantasy. And that's the lesson. Adrian Peterson was actually decent in this brutal matchup, but the 49ers were also missing their nose tackle, DJ Jones, so that helped. We'll see about him returning next week, but that could help Christian McCaffrey if he's out. Again, 20-for-81, so decent game for Peterson if you flexed him. They're clearly about the high volume with Bill Callahan in the running game, and with Chris Thompson out, the whole backfield real touches are him and Wendell Smallwood. Smallwood, by the way, 6 touches for 41, so I bet Thompson's out for a while. Peterson's going to get 20 carries. It doesn't matter what the score is. And that's certainly going to kill the value of Case Keenum as a streamer. And Terry McLaurin, tough matchup, didn't come through. They are playing the Vikings. We mentioned that Xavier Rhodes wasn't necessarily shut down, but that's a tough matchup here for the Redskins on a short week. Adrian Peterson revenge game? I think not. I'm going to avoid him. It's totally because it's also a revenge game for the defense. So there's that. We have a few more games to talk about, our late window games and the Sunday night game. But first, I got to tell you, NBA season is about to kick off and tip off, that is. So we're in NFL season mode, but NBA season is going to tip off, get started, get underway, however you want to call it here right this week. So got to check out the great shows we have. Our Locked On NBA show with our flagship host there, David Locke. You got Rejecting the Screen there, new show that features Noah Kozlov with some key interviews there that you need to check out. And don't forget, we also have Hollinger and Duncan, an analytics program for you there once a week on the NBA channel as well. So check out all the shows. Great work they do on the NBA side of things. Great work here on Lockdown NFL Network. And just happy to be a part of it here and bringing it to you with Lockdown Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to break down the final four games of the Sunday action in Week 7. All right, we got a few more games to talk about here, so let's break it down and close the show. And then, again, reminder, tomorrow's Pickup Tuesday, waiver wire look there ahead of Week 8, as well as those Patriots-Jets takeaways there for you. Now, the Chargers and Titans, this game was a weird, ugly game. The late window, weird, nobody cares game. In reality, 23-20, the Titans win. The biggest takeaway here is that Ryan Tannehill has made this offense kind of legitimate now. 23 of 29 in a tough matchup. 2 touchdowns, 312 yards. He did have a pick in this game, but got sacked only a couple times. Got rid of the ball well. He got Corey Davis involved. 6 for 80 and a touchdown. What's going on here? Adam Humphries, 4 for 40. A.J. Brown, 6 for 64. Efficient on all these targets here. Jonas Smith had to take over tight end, as well as Anthony Firkser with Delanie Walker hurting his ankle in this game. So that was a bit of a bummer if you had Delanie, because he's definitely going to be involved a lot based on this game plan. So the other tight ends combined for 4 for 81. So something to keep in mind if and when Delanie can come back here in any time. But when you pass the ball, guess what happens? Things open up for Derrick Henry, and they certainly did late in this game. But 22 carries for 90 yards for Derrick Henry. You'll take that based on what you're getting from him in recent weeks. And he also was involved enough in the passing game with one catch for 18 yards. So nice game for Derrick Henry. Legitimate offense opens things up for the skill players in the receiving game and in the running game. That's exactly what we saw. So thank you, Ryan Tannehill, for unlocking the code to some Titans, decent fantasy football production, and making these skilled players rather relevant again instead of Marcus Mariota. Now, on the other side of things with the Chargers, 24 for 38 and 2 for Phillip Rivers. He's starting to look good again, but the notable thing is Austin Eckler, 7 receptions for 118 yards, 5 runs for 17. So 12 touches for 125 and a score. He should have had another score late in the game, Eckler. But Melvin Gordon, on contrast there, I told you that Eckler had 12 touches. 18 for Melvin Gordon. He did get a wide open passing touchdown early in the game, but 18 touches, 29 yards for Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's not good. He's not in this offense. He needs a good offensive line to operate and go forward. So, no, Melvin Gordon just needs to kind of go away here because he's made this offense stagnant when they're not forcing the ball to him, including at the goal line with the game on the line, and he fumbles. When they should be winning and should be getting yard twice, he couldn't do it. No, we're not. We're tired of Melvin Gordon. Anthony Lynn, please listen to us. Especially Eckler owners, we want Melvin Gordon to just go away from this. And also Melvin Gordon owners, because you're forced. You think you have to play him with his volume. Volume doesn't always work when your offensive line is bad and your game flow is not, and the player's not good. And that's what's going on with Melvin Gordon. Clearly he's rusty from the holdout. Ezekiel Elliott went to Cabo. He is fine. Melvin Gordon, whatever he did, it didn't work. He's not looking good at all. And again, I would bench him until I see something more. And hopefully the Chargers come to their senses, because their offense stagnates him with him when they force it to him. Go to Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Everything one produced when you didn't factor in Melvin Gordon and he struggled. So let's get there with this team. Let's do it. Chargers, just like the Titans, made the right adjustment with their offense here going into week 7. Next game is the Saints and Bears, 36-25. This is a weird game because it was 36-10, essentially, and the Bears got an onside kick, a late gasp drive. So Mitchell Trubisky saves his fantasy day, if you even wanted to see him, but 251-2. Zero rushing here for Mitchell Trubisky. What a terrible offense. It's the Allen Robinson show, though. If you got Allen Robinson, you're pleased because he was on Marshawn Lattimore, but 10 of 16 targets caught for 87. So wasn't very efficient, but he got in the end zone there late in garbage time when this team is doing nothing. So you'll take it any way you can get it. So Allen Robinson locked in as the number one, really the only thing in this offense that has a pulse right now that you're looking at. David Montgomery is just, come on. After a bye, you give David Montgomery 4 touches for 19 yards. You abandon the running game when you need it. I know the matchup was tough against the run, but it's not like you have an elite passer out there. 7 for 17 total for the Bears. So really brutal here for this offense. And Matt Nagy, ugh. I don't like what I'm seeing from Matt Nagy. I think you have to avoid as much as you can, except for Robinson, in this Bears offense. And the Bears defense, remember when they were good? They're not that good anymore. No Hakeem Hicks in the middle of the field. 151 yards rushing for the Saints. Granted, they were ahead and playing with the lead, but Taysom Hill looked good behind Latavius Murray, filling in for injured Alvin Kamara. 27 for 119 and 2 scores. This Bears team is grounded to pulp, probably just worn down because of how much the offense stinks at this point. And the Saints are pretty precision. They have a good offensive line, wore down the Bears. Teddy Bridgewater, 281 and 2. So the Bears aren't even stopping the pass here. 9 for 131 and 11 targets for Thomas. Josh Hill steps in for Jared Cook. Comes Jared Cook. 3 catches for 43 and a score there at tight end. So, by the way, Murray added the Kamara-style receiving. We saw this when he replaced Dalvin Cook, so this is no surprise from his Minnesota days. 5 for 31 there for Murray. So Murray is a great plug-and-play without Alvin Kamara. We'll see if he can play, but good matchup this week against the Cardinals. for the running game. If Kamara has to miss another week, it is a high ankle sprain. And heck, if the Saints keep winning without Drew Brees, and they're going to keep winning without Alvin Kamara, they can take their time, rest these guys that are going to have their bye coming up here soon. So that's the ideal return time for both Drew Brees and Kamara here. So certainly that plan can go into effect here in week number 8. There, Kamara missing game, you're fine. If you have Murray, you backed him up. If you were Murray, different owner, you're thrilled because you'll get some more extra value out of a running back here going forward there for you. Now, we'll go to the Seahawks-Ravens game. And the most disappointing player of the week in this disappointing week was Russell Wilson. What happened to Russell Wilson? 20 of 41 for 241, touchdown, interception. Pretty bad for Russell Wilson here. He had the one great play early in the game to Tyler Lockett. Great catch as well by Lockett. 5 for 61 in the score on 7. But DK Metcalf looked good at times, but he lost a fumble this game. Only 4 of 9 targets. Jerron Brown only 3 of 6. He misses Will Disley. That's what I've noticed here. They're not the same type of quarterback here with that reliable tight end in the middle of the field. Granted, Wilson's still an elite guy that's going to put up numbers. He still had 27 yards rushing in this game, but still, you're expecting some QB1 numbers. It was a 30-16 loss. So not the shootout you expected. It was a close field goal game, 13-13 at halftime, until the Ravens pulled away with their running game. And what you can say, Lamar Jackson, 116 rushing in the score. Didn't do anything passing, but he's basically a running back that adds gravy through the air. And he didn't have Marquise Brown this game. And Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle, Hayden Hurst, what an ugly tight end by committee this has come after Andrews was the man early. Mark Ingram, what's happened to him? He's had a couple bad games here. You know, the Seahawks are traditionally good against the run, so no surprise. But Lamar Jackson and the zone reads and all that good stuff here, he really came through with a 14 for 116 on the ground there. So he's going to get that way. I mean, right there, that's 17.6 fantasy points. So get a few more through the air, even if he doesn't throw a touchdown, as long as he doesn't get picked. Really, when you look at the 125, that's another 5 to 6 points there that are added to your score. So not a massive game for Lamar Jackson. Just disappointing the defense has decided to show up a little bit more. And Marcus Peters, what can you say? A pick six there for the Ravens. They had 2 defensive touchdowns in this game. So that ends up being the margin of victory, 14 points. The 2 defensive touchdowns, one on the Metcalf fumble return and the other on the Wilson pick six to Marcus Peters. So this Ravens defense trending upward certainly after this game, but more big play oriented than stopping teams anywhere. And finally, we go to Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys and Eagles. Yet another throw the TV game if you had fantasy implications in this one, especially on the Eagles side. 191 and 1 for Carson Wentz, sacked 3 times, interception, lost a fumble, not even garbage yards when the Cowboys. Second straight week where the garbage from Wentz was limited. And this offense, what is going on here? Dallas Goedert, 4 for 69, caught all of his targets for TD. Zach Ertz, another bad game, 2 for 38. Really ugly here. Goedert actually lost a fumble, so he made his day that was good bad. So, and Wentz lost 2, so ugly. And Zach Ertz, what happened to Wentz and Ertz? 2 catches for 38 and 5. Nelson Aguilar just lost his connection, 2. Had a big play they could have hit on there, 2 for 24 and 4. Alshon Jeffrey, microscopic, 2 for 38 there. So, wow. I mean, I don't know. This Eagles offense, I don't know if DeSean Jackson makes that much of a difference, but they're not running the ball that well. It's just Wentz may not be playing too well, the offensive line. And Andre Dillard in there for Jason Peters, the left tackle. But it's so weird going on with the Eagles, and very frustrating team right now to have shares of in fantasy football. And Wentz playing Buffalo? I'm not sure I would totally invest in playing Wentz against Buffalo the way things are going right now, unless we have DeSean Jackson back, maybe some optimism. But we can't recommend that matchup right now. Unfortunately, he's our every week guy that we've liked because he's consistent with 2 touchdowns, but he's had some really bad games of late, so really tough to trust. Dak Prescott didn't have a great game either, but 239 and a touchdown interception, but he did make up for it with 5 for 30 and that rushing TD. That's always a good value in his fantasy production. Ezekiel, we thought the matchup was hard, but the Eagles softened up, tried to stop the pass, and they contained the deep passing game, but gave up 111 on the ground to Elliott and a touchdown and 6 for 36 through the air. So the dinking and dunking, the Cowboys made a great adjustment to that, got Elliott involved, and you saw the numbers. So that hurt the downfield passing. Still 5 for 106 for Amari Cooper with the injury, caught all of his targets, but only 3 for 34. Wasn't the shootout we expected when you don't get the shootout. Usually means the running game and defense, and that's what the Cowboys won with in this particular game, 37-10. So, again, this Cowboys offense, big rebound game, get well game for Elliott. Prescott still got his numbers in a different way. I'm just kind of cool up on Gallup a little bit. The matchup was great, but again, the Eagles made a slight adjustment there and didn't give up the big plays, but they got burned in other ways. So sometimes you have to anticipate that in fantasy. That team is so maligned at a certain spot that they're going to make some anticipatory moves and it's going to burn them another way, and that's exactly what happened here with the Eagles defense. So there you have it. There's a look at all the Sunday Week 7 action here from a fantasy football perspective on Locked On Fantasy Football. Straight to the point, giving you all the no-nonsense details you need to know, our thoughts, feelings, reactions, overreactions, all that good stuff. So we'll be back for a little bit more in Week 7 tomorrow with the Patriots-Jets and get you on your way with your waiver wire claims for Week number 8. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.